Hello and welcome to Uncommon Law, my podcast about true stories from my life experience of over 50 years as a lawyer and trial judge. This is a look at the law from the inside out, stuff they don't teach in law school. This is Judge Rudy Greco, retired justice of the New York State Supreme Court. The saying goes that still water runs deep, and I think this story is a very, very good example of that old saying. In 1995, I moved my office from Manhattan, Midtown, near Madison Square Garden, to Jackson Heights. Boxing business had moved to Las Vegas and New Jersey and wasn't around so much in New York City. And I wanted to be closer to home, and I moved my office back to right near where I lived, which was a good move for me because it got me involved in the local community and local politics, which turned out very favorably for me in the long run. But back in 1995, I opened this office in Jackson Heights, and I came to the a notice of an 80-year-old gentleman who was walking up and down the street looking very elegant. He was a tall, distinguished-looking guy, and he'd walk down the street with this very, very well-dressed. He was very well-dressed, a brown tweed suit, three-piece suit, usually with a classic trench coat, a Burberry trench coat, a good one, and a green felt hat, like a trilby. And he looked very, very distinguished. And it turns out that lady was his wife, and she had little high heels on and always a very, very nice dress and a very stylish gray coat. And they would walk up and down the streets in Jackson Heights. They were retired. And they would stop right near my office and go to the local coffee shop ice cream parlor called Jan's and have lunch or breakfast. And I would meet them from time to time, and we struck up conversation in the coffee shop. And eventually they came in as clients. The man, his name was George, and his wife's name was Mirjana. And he was a tall, very distinguished-looking guy, fine-looking guy. And Mirjana was also very, very pretty. She was close to 80 years old, and you could see how pretty she was, and she must have been quite a looker as a young lady as well. I prepared mutual wills for them, and they were very, very happy, and we became friends. We had a long and warm friendship over the years. Years later, Mirjana passed away, and George was walking around, and he grew restless, and he was talking to me about it. And he said, "You know, I really have nothing to do with Mirjana gone. I miss her so much. We've been close since we were kids." He said, "And I'd like to go back in business, and you could be my partner. You know, you would be a good business partner for me." I said, "Well, George, what kind of a business?" He said, "Well, I was in, before I retired, I had my own business." And he said, "I sold airplane parts around the world. I used to work for Pan Am, and I did that for Pan Am. I acquired and sold airplane parts, new and used. And then I went into my own business." He says, "It's a small world. I was like a broker. And, I'm a very good salesman," he said. "I'm very good at getting the work and talking to people and everything else. I'm not a good business administrator." And he said, "You're a lawyer. You'd be perfect, Rudy. You know, you're in order. You always take care of everything, and we'd be a good team." And I said, "Well, George, I'm very flattered that you would ask me to be a partner of yours in business. But at this point in time, I'm not inclined to get involved in a new business. I was in my 60s. George was in his 80s. No, I wasn't ready for this." I said, "But thank you, I am literally flattered, you know, by the fact that you would even consider me." Well, years went by, and now in 2015, George was in the newspapers locally in New York City, where he was awarded the Bronze Star for his wartime heroism. Now, he never told me anything about his wartime heroism in all the years that I knew him. He was very modest and very quiet and very subdued and very reserved. He was really old school and an elegant guy. And it turns out that a local congressman, Joe Crowley, heard George's story and pushed and applied for the award for George. George didn't ask for it or anything else. And how the story came out at that time in the 1990s, mid-90s, 1995, was simply because the story had been classified as top secret for all of those years since World War II, which is when George earned this Bronze Star. And how did he earn the Bronze Star? He never said anything. But once the story was declassified, all the details became public. And George himself was born in Pittsburgh in 1915 or so to Serbian parents. And as a young man, he spoke Serbian at home in Pittsburgh. And then as a young man after high school, they shipped him back to Belgrade in Serbia, Yugoslavia is what it was. Before it was Yugoslavia, it was Serbia. And to study at the university to become a doctor. And George was studying there, and that's when he met Mirjana. She was a local Serbian young lady, and she was a student also at the university. And they became friends. They kept company and eventually got married. The war broke out, and George came home to the U.S., and he was drafted into the army. When they found out he could speak Serbian and he knew the culture, they put him in OSS, which is the predecessor of the CIA and the Office of Special Services. And George rose to the rank of, I think, captain. And he was working there, and he was parachuted behind the German lines into Serbia to organize the evacuation of Allied pilots who were prisoners of war of the Nazis. It seems that the Allies would come from England or Europe and fly across, or even from Bari, Italy, and fly across Serbia on their way to the Romanian oil fields that where the Nazis got all their oil supplies for the whole war machine and the war effort. But a lot of these guys got shot down on the return trips, or even on the initial trip to the oil fields, and they were taken prisoner. And there were hundreds of them because there were so many flights that were taking place. And each bomber crew had 9 or 10 crewmen on there, the pilots and everybody else, engineers and navigators, bombardiers and gunners. George worked behind the lines with the Chetniks and their general Mihailich. And he set up an airfield that was 42 miles away from the nearest Nazis back in the Serbian hinterlands. And he trained, before he went there, he trained U.S. guys to work behind the lines in OSS. And he trained them in Serbian culture and all the nuances of Serbian culture, for instance, and the Serbian dialect, so that they knew exactly how to speak and expressions to use, etc., so they could pass the Serbians. He taught them, for instance, to tuck in their shoelaces. When the shoelaces were tied, they get both ends of the bow and put them under the laces, because that's what Serbians men did. And he taught them to use their knives at dinner to load their forks with food, like peas or vegetables. They used the knife to direct food onto the fork, because that's what they did. And he taught them all the little cliches that Serbians used in the Slavic language that was typically Serbian, so that they wouldn't get caught and wouldn't get apprehended by the Nazis. They called George back from the lines eventually, and Mihailich was a big rival. There was another Serbian group that was led by Joseph Broz, who became Marshal Tito. Joseph Broz was leading the partisans. Mihailich led his group called the Chetniks. The partisans got very good publicity, and they were very favored by the British over the Chetniks, because Broz would say to everyone, the Chetniks are corroborating with the Nazis. And Broz had attached to his group of partisans as a reporter Winston Churchill's son, who unchecked and took everything that Broz told him face value and sent it back to Britain in full praise of all the wonderful things that the partisans are doing. They weren't doing very much. The Chetniks were doing more, but the Chetniks were doing it in a much different way, because they were behind German lines. Everything they had to do was conservative. The Germans made an example. Anytime the Chetniks killed any Germans, the Germans would execute 10 Serbians to get revenge for the one German life that they lost. So if they killed 10 Germans, they would lose 100 Serbians. And they would just line up anybody. They weren't Serbian combatants. They were just Serbian citizens. They were kids, people, men, for the most part. And anybody they could grab, and they would just execute them. So the Chetniks were operating from a different perspective than the partisans who were not behind German lines. And the partisans took a lot of glory and vilified Mikhailich and the Chetniks. It turns out, after the war, Tito became, thanks to the British and Winston Churchill's relationship with Stalin, Tito became Marshal Tito, and he became the head of all of Yugoslavia that the Allies had cobbled together from all the different countries, Slovenia, Croatia, Montenegro, Bosnia, Herzegovina. And Marshal Tito took it up, and Mikhailich was disgraced, but Harry Truman undid that disgrace by secretly awarding him the Legion of Honor from the United States for his work. But he awarded posthumously because Mikhailich was, he was executed by the partisans when Tito took control of the government. And supposedly as a Nazi collaborator, which was total fabrication. But the President Truman had undid that. Anyway, George, his efforts at establishing that airfield and the Underground Railroad to escort these pilots and hold them and get them and help them from the Nazis and hide them from the Nazis in many cases, he ended up saving over 500 airmen and got them back to their regular positions in the armed forces, the British armed forces and the American armed forces. And later on, when George was given the medal, one of the pilots who was a bank president, who was a retired guy, Mr. Tony Orsini from New Jersey. He was in his 80s, and he was one of the people that George had rescued. And the name of it, the operation was called, for no good reason, Operation Halyard. And he said Operation Halyard and the work of George was the work of genius, and we owed our lives. We all owed our lives to this guy, and he was phenomenal for what he did. And George never said anything. The Cold War continued for decades, and George went through this so quietly and keeping the secret of his wartime exploits. He never said anything. And here it is, the stuff of a movie. And in this case, I think we could all agree that the quiet man that was George was quite a man. Thanks for listening. Come back next week for another episode of Uncommon Law, Lessons They Don't Teach in Law School. I'm Judge Rudy Greco. Court is adjourned.